Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today's episode, I am joined by Zane Havener out of Indiana, fights out of Nice Guy Submission Academy under Coach David Overfield. As you hear him in the episode, really under David Overfield, Jesse Ray Childrey, and Bobby Emmons. I appreciate Zane coming on the show today. He had a huge win this past Friday for LFA 235, which was right here in Louisville, Kentucky, at Freedom Hall. Big event. Zane was the main event. He went out there and he dominated the fight with his striking, took it to the ground, won via a head and arm choke. So big performance, his third consecutive win for LFA. He's 25 years old, 185 pounder. Looks like this guy will be fighting in the UFC soon is my prediction. I appreciate everyone tuning in. If you're a fan of the Kelly Patrick Show, I ask that you please send me some health insurance referrals. MedicareStoreUSA.com is my website. I write Medicare products, Medicare Advantage, Medicare supplements, drug coverage. Anyone in Kentucky, Ohio, Illinois, Indiana. So everyone listening in Indiana, send me some referrals. And of course, Florida. Send me some referrals. If you want to support the Kelly Patrick Show, send me some referrals. Also appreciate the support from Louisville Combat Academy right here in Louisville, Kentucky, 7908 Beulah Church Road. They have a great 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu program. Louisville MMA under Coach Jason Y, who had a big showing on Friday night with Tyler Stout's big win. Very strong kids program. Once again, the 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu led by AJ Jenkins. They have a very strong kickboxing program. I'm there on Thursdays for kickboxing at 6:30 p.m. Also want to thank Matt McCarthy, longtime producer of the Kelly Patrick Show, and Jorge Basado, who helps me with the video footage. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Kelly Patrick Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. In today's episode, I am joined by Zane Havener. Zane, thanks so much for coming on the show. How are you?
Doing good, man. Of course, no problem. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are fresh off a big win. I see your face. You know, you've got a couple, I assume you got a couple, shiners there from your fight on Friday evening. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct. I definitely got a couple. A few small cuts, nothing major, though. Didn't have to go to the hospital or get any stitches, so I'd call it a win in my book.
Zane, being this is the first time I've got to chat with you, I'll do a quick recap. You are a 6-2 professional MMA fighter. All your fights have been at 185 pounds. You've won 3 fights for LFA now in a row, the number one feeder organization for the UFC. So you're 25 years old. You're on a certain uptick. You got to be on a short list of, you know, guys who maybe at some point soon could be getting the call up to the UFC. So congratulations on your recent success. Being this is the first time I've got to chat with you, could you introduce yourself to the Kelly Patrick Show audience? Who's Zane Havener?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm Zane Havener. I'm a 6-2 professional, 185-pound MMA fighter, representing Nice Guy Submission Fighting in Evansville, Indiana. I kind of started a little rough at 1-2, but I've been able to rattle off 5 straight wins here. Like we said, we've got 6 wins, 5 finishes. I'm a pretty exciting fighter, I think, in my opinion. And like you said, my last 3 fights have been for LFA, but number one feed organization outside the UFC. And I've been able to get 3 different finishes against 3 tough opponents. And I really definitely think that puts me on a short list of guys that can be called up. And if I don't get called up, then it looks like I'll be fighting for the LFA title. So,
how did you get into combat sports? You're 25 years old. Could you walk me through what was your childhood like? How did this come about?
Yeah, actually, I really got into it because my older brother, when I was like 8 or I was 6 years old the first time I watched him fight. He started fighting way back in the day when it was just, you know, smoker shows and everything like that. So I got the pleasure of watching him fight when I was very young. And it got me into it, but I wasn't like, I fell in love. I knew I liked the sport. I knew I always wanted to fight eventually, but I was a fat kid. I didn't really get into it. I wasn't very active until I got into high school, joined the wrestling team and lost a bunch of weight. And then whenever I graduated, I was like, man, I really don't want to get fat again. And my brother was still messing around with some martial arts. So I just went with him to the gym and just fell in love with it, man. And finally fought like 2 years later. And I've just been stuck with it ever since.
So you did you wrestle 4 years in high school?
I was on and off. I wrestled, like, I joined my, like, eighth grade year, freshman year, back quick. So I was, like I said, dude, I was a fat kid. I didn't have the determination I have now. And I just couldn't take it. But my sophomore year, something clicked. I was huge, like, so fat. And something clicked. I'm like, I was tired of this. So I joined back to the wrestling team. I didn't really get to wrestle my sophomore year, but I lost a bunch of weight. I went from, like, 260 to 195 pounds my junior year. And then I just started wrestling at varsity then. I was not good at wrestling. Like, I had no state qualifier. I wasn't anything worth anything, but I wrestled, and it at least helped me get the weight off. I stuck with it. And as soon as I got done with wrestling my senior year, which is pretty quick, because, like I said, I wasn't very good, I just joined right into doing jiu-jitsu and started to learn martial arts.
Any other sports that you played as a kid?
A little bit of football, but not too much. Mostly just a little bit of wrestling and football.
Interesting. Okay. So you lost some weight with wrestling. Weren't necessary. Indiana's a very tough state to be real good at wrestling in, right?
I think so. Well, Indiana's a lot of pride. You know, we definitely have some guys. I mean, Nick Lee, you know, he was an Olympic qualifier. Absolute murderer. Mason Paris, you know, those guys come out of Indiana. So there's definitely some killers out of Indiana. The main thing that I think it makes it difficult is that there's only one state champion in each weight class. Like, other states, there might be like a 6A, 5A, 4A state champion in each weight class, whereas, like, Indiana, everybody's together. So it's like there's one 195-pound champion or one 220 or whatever, which I think it's 215 now. I think the weight class are different than when I was in high school. But, yeah, it's interesting that way. But yeah, I mean, even then, I still was only like a regional qualifier, as they call it, something like the second level. So.
Okay, so you get out of high school, you go in, you find Nice Guy Submission Fighting. Is that how the progression worked? Your brother had found the gym before you?
Yeah, he had he'd probably been there training like 2 years before I even considered joining, and then I joined pretty much right out of high school. I fell in love with it right away and was like, man, I need to figure this out. So I got a job in Evansville, because I would live about 45 minutes away. I'd drive here, wait like 2 hours for class, do class, go back home. And then I finally got a job in Evansville, found an apartment, moved to Evansville, and I've just been 5 to 7 days a week ever since, pretty much.
At what age did you learn how to throw a punch? When did your striking come into the mix?
18. Like, I didn't learn to throw a punch. And even then, I mean, that's probably kind of a stretch, honestly. I really didn't start striking until we started talking about me fighting, which was, like, I was 20 when I fought the first time. So, because, like, honestly, Nice Guy was, we were really only a jiu-jitsu gym prior. Like, we had a few guys that fought occasionally, but at the time that I joined, we were really just jiu-jitsu. That's all we did. We had no stand-up classes. So I just do jiu-jitsu, and until I was like, hey, I want to start looking at fighting, my coach, David Overfield, was like, all right, well, I guess we're going to have to start learning how to throw kicks, take punches, throw punches, things like that. So, I mean, yeah, I learned a little bit, but I really kind of have been learning as I go with striking. I was much better at jiu-jitsu, and I'd say wrestling, but I'm still not the greatest wrestler. But, yeah, definitely more of a jiu-jitsu guy.
It appeared, I was there for the fight here in Louisville, Kentucky, Friday night, and it looked like you mm-hmm. won the stand-up exchange, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely.
What do you credit that to? If you're more of a jiu-jitsu guy who comes from a wrestling background, how did that happen?
I've just got that certain grit in me for sure, but I mean, David Overfield is a really great striking coach. Like, I say that, you know, I didn't start striking until I was like 20, but I have been working nonstop for the past 5 years, just honing my craft. So in that time, I've built a lot of confidence and developed a lot more skills than just a little 1-2 and everything like that. So, I mean, as much as I was just a jiu-jitsu guy, I definitely think I'm a lot more well-rounded now than I was then. But, yeah, I mean, without him, I would be, you know, I'd just be pulling guard. I'd be pulling a Ryan Hall on everybody, just pulling guard, trying to reach for legs and probably getting knocked out a lot.
does the threat of your grappling and your submissions, do you think that really kind of opens things up for you to kind of let loose with the striking?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Especially when I like threaten a takedown or threaten a clinch exchange early in the fight. That was kind of my plan in this fight. I never really got to it. I think I just had something proved in my head. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think it opens it up when you start threatening the showing those takedowns and threatening those clinch exchanges when you're, you know, when you're a guy that's finished three people and with submissions in a row, then it's going to make people think. And they're going to be constantly worried about that takedown threat, that submission threat. And then it opens up your hands. I mean, then they're not thinking about, you know, the punches and kicks coming at them too.
You have now won three fights in a row for LFA. Headed into your matchup on Friday, your opponent actually had won three fights in a row for, is it all for LFA? No, I guess one of them was not for LFA. Regardless, yeah. No, one of them was not. Regardless, he was on a hot streak, and he'd won a couple fights for LFA recently. What can you tell us about game planning specifically for your opponent on Friday, Andrew Stewart?
Game planning for him was pretty, I don't want to say simple, but it was pretty straightforward. I mean, we knew what he was pretty much right away. He's very well rounded. He's solid everywhere. He's got decent wrestling. He's got good top pressure, solid ground and pound. But he's in our opinion, the only thing he really beat me in was that overhand right. That overhand right was really what he had. That power from the overhand right, he relied on it so many times before, and he's knocked a lot of guys out with it. And it's very impressive. But in our opinion, keeping the pressure on him and keeping him on his back foot was going to take a lot of the power away from that. And really, that was the only spot he was better than me. I think I had better stand-up. I think I had better wrestling. I think I had better grappling. I think I just had to avoid the power that could come with that overhand right. So, I mean, really, the mindset was just staying on him and just working on different combinations dealing with that powerful overhand right that he has.
Where do you go from here?
Like we said earlier, I mean, the contender series or Jake Woodley, as it looks like. I mean, we're either going to be fighting the title, LFA title, or it's contender series, hopefully.
Is that what that was? Was two different fights, four fighters at 185 pounds, kind of the winner of both is then going to match off against the other?
Essentially, yeah, that's the idea.
What did you think of Woodley's performance?
I mean, yeah, I mean, what can you think of it? It was awesome. They're sick. I mean,
not boring.
You know, I got like that, you know? Yeah, yeah, I'm happy for him, man. I mean, that's insane. But, you know, the thing about those is you don't get two of those. You know, most people don't get 2 4-second knockouts or 2 6-second knockouts. But, I mean, it's super impressive. I'm obviously going to be watching out for the overhand right coming out wherever if we do fight. If you look at his other fights, he's solid. He's a very good wrestler, but he's not a bunch of finishes. That was literally one of his two finishes in his 9 fights. You know, and it was super impressive. It was not going to take anything away from that. But I think as far as overall MMA fighter, I am much more skilled and well-rounded. I think he's extremely good wrestling, and there's a possibility he grabs me and hugs me for 15 or 25 minutes and runs away with the belt. You never know. But I think, in my opinion, I'm good enough to get away from him and keep the pace on him to where he can't keep that pressure on me like that for 25 minutes. I think I'm just too much to deal with for that long. And I mean, as I put on display, I've got a hell of a chin, so I really don't see him putting me out like that either.
You mentioned it. 25 minutes, potentially. I mean, that's got to be an entirely different animal than anything you've ever experienced. Thoughts on that?
Definitely. I mean, it's a little scary, but honestly, I think other people should be more worried about having to fight me for 25 minutes. I am my game is pressure and pace and breaking you in 15 minutes. I mean, you saw it in my fight on Friday. It's like, Stewart, there was no shot he was going to get through that second round. He couldn't handle the pace. I had too much for him. And you put 15, or, you know, you put 10 more minutes onto the end of that fight, there's no shot anybody's lasting that long with me, you know? And I'm honestly, like, as much as it's going to suck in ready for 25 minutes, I know that nobody can hang with me for that long and keep that pace for that long. And it's just been, it's kind of exciting, honestly. I think it's a good opportunity for me to display how good I am for 15 to 25 minutes.
I'm looking over your finishes throughout your amateur and your professional career, mostly submissions, right?
Mostly, yeah.
Would you have preferred to win the fight on Friday if you could? I know, you know, a win's a win, but would you have preferred to win with a TKO?
I didn't really, honestly, I don't have any preference of how I finish them. I like to, as long as I get the finish, I feel accomplished. You know, as long as I get them out of there within 15 minutes, I really feel like I did what I'm supposed to. I don't think anybody should be able to last a full 15 or full 25 when in the cage with me. And that's just how I feel. I don't really have a preference. I mean, if I beat them up and they can't handle it and then it's KO, that's perfect. If it's a submission, then that's even better. But it doesn't really make too much of a difference to me, honestly. One thing I will say is it made it very sweet that when I went rewatched the fight again, is that he said he was going to finish me with a head and arm triangle. So the fact that it was a head and arm triangle kind of made it that much sweeter.
Did you know that he was planning on getting you with that submission prior to the fight, and you consciously did that?
No idea. I had zero idea until I watched it back again. I'm just like, it's just a pretty happy coincidence.
Is that a submission that you use in the jiu-jitsu room often?
Yeah, I do. I had that talk with the guys or the commentators in the meeting before. Is they asked me, it's like, is there any specific submission that I'm looking for? It's like, I don't have anything specific I'm ever looking for. I mean, if there was one thing, it was maybe like an anaconda headlock or something, but I'm always just looking for the opportunity to finish. So like, it's like when I got the triangle in Clarksville, it's that just popped up. That happened. That just, you know, that opportunity presented itself. I'm not a guy that throws triangles all the time or anything like that. I just, you know, I'm an opportunist. When the opportunity's there, I'm going to take it.
You did get your first fight with LFA. You got a triangle. How would you describe that happened? If you're not the guy who throws triangles up off your back, how did that happen?
If you watched again, I was going for a Kimura. Again, he was just, his arms were wide. I thought maybe I could get the Kimura. He was very strong. I couldn't really pull it out. So I just made the decision to switch, tuck the arm, throw my leg over, and switch to a triangle.
Who do you credit with teaching you and helping you to hone your submission game?
Definitely, Bobby, Jesse, and Dave are all really high-level black belts. I think they're all extremely skilled. They're definitely the main credit to where I am today as far as my jiu-jitsu goes. You know, Bobby Emmons, he's done a bunch of Eddie Bravo Invitationals, Combat Jiu-Jitsu Worlds, Jesse Ray Children, he's an ADCC vet. He's done very well on high levels before too. And then David Olenfield, he's done a bunch of different high level jiu-jitsu tournaments and submission undergrounds and things like that. So, all three of those guys, like I said, are very much key factors in where I am today as far as my submission game goes.
Your last fight before you went into the LFA was against Mike Kennedy. That was a unanimous decision victory. Do you look back on that? That's all right. Can you hear me? Okay. Your last victory before you made it into the LFA was against Mike Kennedy. You won a unanimous decision victory. Do you look back and you're like, man, I wish I would have gotten how do you feel about a decision?
I mean, not good. Yeah. I mean, it sucks. Mike Kennedy's a really good guy though. He's a very good competitor and he's very solid. So I definitely, I'm not terribly upset that I didn't get the finish there, but you know, it happens. It wasn't my best night, to be honest with you. I really didn't fight my best fight. But it is what it is. We'll take what we got.
Okay. So of course your next opponent, I mean, hopefully you get called up to, you good? Get called up to, that's all right. Called up to the UFC would be ideal. You're ready for that call?
Yeah, absolutely. If I get the call, I'm definitely ready for it.
Is 185 your weight class forever?
Yeah, that's the plan for sure.
So if you don't get the call up, to the UFC right now and you stay with the LFA, get to fight for the title against Woodley, that would, of course, be your next opponent. Other than Woodley, are there any other 185-pounders out there that you would like to fight for the sake of ratings? If you could maybe talk shit about someone, call someone out, that would be really good for the sake of ratings.
I mean, there's no one really specific that comes to mind. Maybe Marcus Nash. Marcus Nash said a few things about me. I don't really, you know, whatever. Fuck that guy.
That's what I like to hear. That's the spirit.
Yeah, I'll definitely, if that name comes across again, I'm definitely willing to fight him. So.
Okay, cool. Well, I certainly appreciate you. Well, I should ask also, of your three appearances for the LFA, how do they compare, the different venues? How do they compare to each other?
I mean, it was definitely different. Clarksville and Louisville was really cool because, I mean, there were bigger venues and they were closer to my home, so I really got to get a crowd out. And I was on the main card, so there was a lot more crowd there. Whereas Phoenix, I was kind of on the undercard, not a huge venue and not a ton of fans for me at all. So it was real quiet. So it was a little different on that one, but I mean the energy that has been brought every time has been just a whole different level, honestly. So it's just been a lot of fun being able to fight for a local promotion like LFA.
What's the best promotion you've fought for other than LFA?
Probably CFFC.
Okay. Why?
I mean, they're a fight pass promotion. When you say like best, I mean they're the most well known. They,
okay.
I didn't mind fighting for CFFC, but honestly, I really like fighting for LFA. It's much cleaner production, much better. I really enjoy the way they run a show and everything. I enjoy fighting for SSCP when they're around, but unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be doing shows anymore, which is kind of a local show for me. Definitely LFA. CFFC is probably the second most well-known one that I fought for. But yeah, I mean, LFA has been fantastic. I can't talk highly enough about them.
I love it. Well, Zane, I appreciate you making time for me. I know that we're on the Monday after your big weekend. When do you go back to training?
I would have been in today, honestly, but I have some things I have to get done around here. And I went in yesterday. I just decided not to roll because I was a little tired. You know, sometimes it takes a little time. But I'll be back in there tomorrow or Wednesday, depending on what time allows.
So the fight was on Friday. By Tuesday or Wednesday of the following week, you'll be back into the gym. Training.
Yeah.
You were there on Sunday, but yeah. You didn't actually get in there and do rolling and things like that. But by Tuesday or Wednesday, you think you'll be back to training.
Yeah, back to training. I probably won't be doing like full contact for a while just because, I mean, that was a pretty heavy fight. Took some good punches. So I probably won't be doing like some heavy sparring or anything for a few weeks. But as far as just training, yeah, I'll be training on Tuesday, Wednesday.
Good stuff. Well, Zane, before we wrap things up, do you have any shout outs, any sponsors, anyone you want to mention?
Yeah, I mean, shout out to all my sponsors. I'm not going to see your name every single one of them because I'm really dumb and I get hit a lot, so I don't remember them all. But shout out to all my support and my sponsors, my family, and my friends. I just really appreciate everybody that's in my corner.
Good stuff. Well, Zane, thank you very much for making time for me. Congratulations on the big win and best of luck in your future fights. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Recording stopped.
Good stuff, man. I appreciate